It's Tuesday of the fourth week of Lent. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. Today, for our Roman station, we visit another church dedicated to the great Deacon Lawrence, the Church San Lorenzo in Damaso. Many are the times I caught a bus next to this basilica, and many are the times I have visited it. This was the site of the barracks of a famous gladiatorial team of the ancient world, the greens, the color of leeks, I mean the vegetables, which I suppose they used as tokens, rather like people in Wisconsin use large pieces of plastic cheese, but I digress. This was also the location of the house of Pope St. Damasus. Damasus is famous, among other things, for prompting Jerome, his secretary, to translate the Holy Scriptures into Latin, the version we call the Vulgate. Damasus died in 384. The first basilica was built here in the 4th century by Damasus. He lived near the old theater of Pompey, and here he founded his public library. Damasus also built many shrines to martyrs and was much devoted to their veneration. Pope Damasus composed beautiful poetic epigrams for inscription on marble, which were then placed at important sites of worship, some of the basilicas, and we have some of them today. They are instantly recognizable by the special script, the shape of the lettering used for the inscriptions. One inscription here at San Lorenzo Damaso reads, "I have erected this building for the archives of the Roman Church. I have surrounded it with porticos on either side, and I have given it my name, which I hope will be remembered for centuries." And indeed it has been. The church here has had many rebuildings, but it is also integrated into the palace, which is the chancery of the whole Roman Catholic Church ever since the late 15th century. Cardinal Riario, who was Camerlengo, or the chancellor of the Roman Catholic Church, built the great palace, which virtually engulfs the church. Some of the stone of the facade of the palace was recycled from the nearby ruined theater of Pompey the Great. That was, by the way, the first stone theater ever built in Rome. Before that, they were all wooden theaters, temporary structures, built for this or that occasion and then torn down. And it was in the portico of the Theater of Pompey that Julius Caesar was assassinated. In the complex of the palace here, however, are the church's great tribunals, including the Rota, with its legendary round table that they used to have, thus the name, the Signatura, that's the closest thing the church has to a supreme court, and the apostolic penitentiary, which does not imprison people, but rather frees people. It deals with indulgences and matters of the internal forum and confession. Cardinal Riario got Bramante to help him with the restructuring of the church, and if you go inside, I'm sure you will, there's a sculpture here by Bernini, there's a fresco by Pietro da Cortona, and inside the main door, just to your left, there's an interesting copy of a statue of the 2nd century writer and martyr Saint Hippolytus, and if you look on the sides, you can see carved in Greek an ancient calendar and a list of works that are important for the history of liturgy. From Footprints in a Darkened Forest by Fulton J. Sheen. Almost the first word of our Lord's public life was, "Come." The final word of his public life was, "Go into the world." First One must come to him and learn, to be inspired, to find the ultimate goal of life, to discover meaning, purposes, the significance of justice and liberty. Then go among the nations, go to accomplish, go to serve, to wash feet, to feed the hungry, to establish equality, to pick up the wounded like good Samaritans. From Divine Intimacy by Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene. Jesus said to the young man who was aspiring to perfection, "If thou wilt be perfect, go, sell what thou hast, and give to the poor," the Evangelical Council of Poverty, "and come, follow me," the Council of Voluntary Obedience, according to St. Thomas. To follow Jesus means to imitate his virtues, among which obedience certainly ranks first. To follow Jesus in the life of perfection means that we must voluntarily embrace a life of total dependence. St. Thomas concludes from this that obedience belongs to the essence of the state of perfection. To follow Jesus means to carry out fully his invitation, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Now the greatest act of renunciation that man can make is just this sacrifice of his liberty by submission to obedience in all things. In fact, nothing is dearer to man than the freedom of his own will, for this is what makes him master over others. Because of this freedom, he can use and enjoy other goods and is master of his acts. Even as a man, by abandoning his wealth or his kinfolk, renounces them, so by surrendering the freedom of his own will, by which he is master of himself, he renounces himself. St. Thomas, the perfection of the spiritual life. For this reason, the vow of obedience is the greatest and most meritorious sacrifice man can offer to God. To permit our life to be ruled by another, in this the sacrifice of obedience consists. Every man is free, having received his liberty from God. Therefore, he has a right to govern himself according to his own judgment and personal views. Hence, any one who promises obedience uses his freedom to renounce this right, voluntarily offering it as a free holocaust for the service, worship, and glory of God. As the holocaust of the chosen people was a victim entirely consumed in honor of God, no part of it being spared. Similarly, the vow of obedience immolates the whole man to the honor of God. Obedience then makes a sacrifice of our being to its depths, or to be more exact, it sacrifices everything selfish in it, our attachments to our opinions, inclinations, and our personal demands. In this sense, nothing helps to free us from love of self, to strip us of ourselves as much as obedience. At the same time, far from destroying our personality, obedience makes use of it in a most glorious and sublime way, by enabling it to surrender itself in order to adhere entirely to God, to his holy, sanctifying will. The prayer over the people in the extraordinary form of the Roman Rite. Oremus, humiliate capita vestra Deo. Miserere, Domine, populo tuo, et continuis tribulationibus laborantem, propitius respirare concede. Let us pray. Bow your heads to God. Have mercy on your people, O Lord, and graciously grant them relief from the unceasing tribulations which oppress them. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Thank you for listening. This is Father John Sulzdorf. Please pray for me as I will for you.